how important they are to you. And God has made so many thousands of promises in His Word, and every single one of them He's fulfilled. You're important to Him. You are loved by Him and valued by Him. Last week we talked about abiding in Him regardless. We talked about the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. And we went, how many of you are looking at that Psalm 23 a little bit differently now? It really was a revelation to me that the things that we experience in life is no indication of whether God is our shepherd or not. He is our shepherd. And if we find ourselves in a valley of the shadow of death, maybe we made the wrong move. Maybe it was I who wanted to walk. And we find ourselves in a valley, He'll lead us through. Amen. Amen? Abide in Him regardless. And just keep going forward, and He will lead you to those green pastures. Hallelujah. See, if you aren't encountering hardship, if you're not encountering opposition, and maybe you're heading in the wrong direction. Because in this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus said so. But tribulation is not the determining factor of who's your shepherd. You know, it's not the path of least resistance. If you look at the Apostle Paul's life, being stoned, whipped, beaten, imprisoned, shipwrecked, I mean, you name it. You could look at that and say, well, I don't think the Lord was his shepherd because look at this. What problems? Well, he was going head on, spearheading an operation right into the devil's territory with the revelation of grace, with the revelation of what happened at the resurrection. His gospel was the fifth gospel. He called it my gospel. And the four gospels that we see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were really written, this is what man saw Jesus as. But Paul's gospel showed Jesus from the spirit point of view, from God's point of view, the revelation of the resurrection and the new creation. It's an amazing, amazing book. The Apostle Paul was amazing. And when you get that kind of revelation, you don't care what the devil's doing. You're just going to keep on moving. Keep on abiding in him regardless. Hallelujah. So today, we're talking about looking to the fulfillment. And the implication is the fulfillment of promises, the fulfillment of his word, the fulfillment of his blessing, the fulfillment of the things that he has spoken to you personally, too. Looking to the, I mean, if you look at the Bible, it's all these promises, you're looking at words on a page. But these words, the Bible was not, God didn't make this and say, here you go. He didn't write these words. He spoke these words. He spoke these words so they would be written, so that you could pick them up and read them and speak them yourselves and build these truths into your spirit. The word was spoken so it could be written, and that written word has power too, and the devil knows it, and Jesus showed it to him. It is written. It is written. It is written. So, instead of reading the Bible like this rule book or something, and read it as, approach it as a book of promises. This is a promise book. And this is something you can get excited about. Something that you approach God based on, this is what he's saying to me. This is what he this is going to be my experience. This is a promise being fulfilled in me. So we're looking to the fulfillment today. Let's turn to John chapter 15. Jesus said this in verse 7. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what? Who? You will. And it shall be done unto you. Isn't that what it says? Who's talking? Jesus. Is he ever wrong? Okay. There is a point when God's word abiding in you actually, this is intimate stuff. His word abiding in you, actually, there's a conception going on in your heart where the Word of God infuses with your spirit and conceives His life in you and releases it in your spirit so that you and Him together are conceiving something together. Amen. That's how intimate God wants to be with you all the time. This is who He is continually, constantly. And if you abide in Him and His word abides in you, you will ask, and that word ask means really to call forth. Whatever you call forth, it shall be done. You know, I'm going to share a story with you about this conceiving. And I heard Andrew Womack tell this story once. Actually, it was on a tape that he heard one time. This woman, she was a pastor's wife of this church. And she was declared legally blind. In fact, her glasses looked like the bottom of Coke bottles. She could not see. And she belonged to this full gospel church. And she had been prayed for many times. Traveling evangelists come through, they do revivals, she would pray. Nothing ever happened. In fact, she grew worse. Does that sound familiar? She was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. But this wasn't from doctors. She got prayed for, and nothing ever happened. And you know, it's one thing when sickness or deteriorating things happen in your body, but after a while, it starts to get in your heart, and your heart begins to grab it and start rerouting your expectations to negativity and nothing, and it starts to turn your hope into the hope for the wrong things. That this obviously isn't for you or whatever. But what happened was her husband called this evangelist to his church. And there's a process that goes on here too I want to get to. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. In other words, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it's a tree of life. And this is the anointing that Jesus had on him to bind up the brokenhearted. And he gave them new eyes to see with, new ears to hear with. And before he ever healed them on the outside, he knew how to deal with the brokenness on the inside, and they received healings by the multitudes. That's the anointing that had, and he's here now. He's here now. So when the heart is sick, you begin to see yourself that way. You think that way. You talk that way. You dream that way. And everything starts going in that way. Your future is, as far as getting any change or any healing from the Lord, is non-existent. That's what happens when hope is deferred. So her husband called this evangelist, and she actually did everything she could to avoid this guy all week long. They had morning meetings, afternoon meetings, evening meetings. Well, she would leave the meeting a little early, whatever, just to avoid this guy because she just couldn't stand one more disappointment. And the last night, she was on the front. He came behind her kind of like this. He said, hello. Turned around. I want to pray for you. Well, what could she say? See all the people there. She said, okay. He called her up. Take off your glasses. She took off her glasses. He says, okay, close your eyes. And he put his hand like here, not even touching her face. And he prayed for her sight to return. And he said, can you see? She started to open her eyes. He said, shut your eyes. He said, can you see? She started to open her eyes again. And he said, I didn't. Shut your eyes. He says, I didn't tell you to open your eyes. I told you, I asked you if you can see. And if you can't see yourself on the inside seeing, you're not going to see with the outside. So just keep your eyes closed. And she did. For several moments, she just sat there praying in tongues with her eyes closed. And then she said, you know, I see it. I see that. I can see myself seeing. He said, open your eyes. And she saw perfectly. All those years, she had it in her all the time, the ability to see herself, what the word says to her. She had that all the time. But she never received. This is why people don't receive. This is why Christians, Holy Spirit-filled Christians, never receive their healing. They fall short on answers to prayer. They walk in the Word and don't see the results of the Word because they never allow it to be conceived in their heart, in their mind, in their imagination. And I know there's a lot of negativity and everything concerning imagination, but imagination is something you were created with. Amen. Because you need imagination to get into the unlimited that's declared in the Word of God for you. Oh, this is huge. When the Word of God abiding in you and it starts to hit your imagination, open up, something is conceived on the inside and you can see yourself slaying that bear, slaying that lion and taking that sheep out of its jaws. Then when a giant comes up, you say, what? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he defies the armies of the living God? What gives him the right? He didn't... You see what I mean? Where did he get all that? He got it from meditating on the Word of God day and night, like it says in Psalm number 1, which he wrote. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. That's what David did. That's where he got his strength. That's where he got his ability. That's where he got his faith. Praise God. This is where perception becomes reality. And, imagination is not fantasy. The devil uses fantasy to hijack your imagination. You got to think about these little dweezels for a while because they come to me and I'm like, wow. And these doors start opening up and start producing. Can you see? Don't open your eyes. Start to imagine. The prayers that you prayed just earlier today, you need to see them. You need to have that answer conceived in your heart because he already said, I'll answer. He said, whosoever asks receives. Jesus said that, the Sermon on the Mount, that's dead red. Let's look at the Bible with a little imagination today. And let's open up the Word of God. As we open up the Word of God, let's remind ourselves what is happening in us as we look into the Word. Let's declare this together. It's God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being... This God's seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. So let's start in Psalms chapter 103. And we'll go there, and we're going to start in verse 11. You know, there's so much revelation in the Psalms, especially with the intimacy God wants to have with us and how he wants to be involved in all facets of our life. David starts these things. Sometimes he's like crawling to God and his hands on his belly or something. And then by the time the psalm is through, he's on the mountaintop rejoicing. It's like this works. The Word of God works. But in Psalm 103, verse 11, it says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. You know, this is something we talk about all the time. What father would ever want to see his child sick, hurting, in pain, whether it's physical or emotional? That would be child abuse. God is a wonderful father who pities. He has mercy on his kids. And that word fear, them that fear him, is really means a reverential awe, that you just think he's awesome. So you can read it this way. It says, As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who think he's just awesome. I like reading it that way. And verse 14 says, for he knows our frame, he remembers that we are but dust. What's a frame? A frame is a skeleton in a person, right? It's your skeleton. This building has a framework that holds it up. You want to know what that word frame is? It's the Hebrew word yetzer. And it literally means conception. This word yetzer is also translated mind. It's also translated imagination 5 times in the Old Testament. One of the clearest is found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, where it says, the Lord came down and he saw that the imaginations of men's hearts were evil continually. The word imagination is the word yetzer. That's your frame. That's what keeps you erect and standing up and supports your vision that's conceived in your heart. It's what stands up when the word starts to fill you, that framework. It's the word yetzer. It's also translated mind over there in Isaiah 26, verse 3, where it says that the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, whose conceiver, whose conception is stayed on him because he trusts, abiding in him, letting his word abide in you. Abide in him, his word abide in you. A conception takes place. And in this case, it's perfect peace. It's the shalom of God. So that you can know that no matter what situation you're in, where you find yourself, you have perfect peace. But don't just leave it there. We're looking to the fulfillment today. What was the fulfillment of Jesus' peace when that storm came? He spoke to it. See, this is equipping. This is where you get equipped in these things. The word equips you. It's not just there to say, oh, isn't that nice? Those all connect together. Oh, that's very tidy. No. It's the word of God is to conceive something in you so that when you encounter problems, resistance, adversity, opposition to your life, that you have what it takes to shut the mouth of the enemy. Yes. With truth. Amen. And love and power and strength. You are an overcomer. This is where you overcome. It happens here before it ever happens here. It happens here before it ever happens here. You have new eyes to see, new ears to hear, to take that brokenness in your heart and just start walking in wholeness, whether you see it or not. I'm going to heaven. I know that. I was saved on July 20th, 1975. It's because I'm older than I look. At about 8:30, on my way to a bar. God doesn't care where you go, where you're, you know, he has a plan for you. Oh, hallelujah. Say, whoa, you can't say that in church. Why not? He saved me. Church has nothing to do with who you are, what you, you know, we gather together and we experience his power in our midst. But I mean, it's not church. No, it's church. It's the gathering of believers together who all have the same testimony. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was a stone drunk sinner, and now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And it's all to him and his glory. Amen. You conceive. Your imagination is the womb of your soul. You can look at it that way. Your imagination is the womb of your soul. And this is why the devil tries so hard to hijack it, either that or to diminish it, to think, oh, that's just fantasy. No. And then he pours in his fantasy in order to hijack that thing because he doesn't want you to use it, because your imagination is more power. It's so powerful. In Genesis chapter 11, I don't know if you've ever seen this. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, The Lord said, behold, this people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. They're building a Tower of Babel. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Didn't you know your imagination is so powerful? Their imagination to communicate together, to share their ideas and their visions was so powerful, it posed a threat to God's plan of redemption and God's plans for the future. It would have, if they could continue to conceive these things, anything that they could imagine, it would have rushed the maturing of the ages, which God outlined in Genesis chapter 1. The whole 6,000 years of human history is already laid out in chapter 1 of Genesis. Don't have time to go there, but that's just a statement I'll make. Did you know how powerful your imagination is? You can reroute through your imagination. You can uproot and reroute all the devil has ever spoken to you, every lie, every deception, by filling God's word with your imagination and getting out there where it's unlimited. Look, you need to. If you go to a kindergarten class and you address that kindergarten class and say, how many of you guys are artists? Every hand will go up. How many of you, how many of you can sing? Every hand will go up. Well, then you go to high school and the same bunch of people years later say, how many of you are artists? Maybe one or two hands go up. How many of you can sing? Maybe you can. See, what happens is when they find out that they're not good or people criticize them or whatever and experience this thing, what happens is all of their expectations starts to take a negative and they don't see themselves as being able to do those things. This is why you got to be a child. Yes. Childlike faith. Yes. And keep on looking at yourself. Keep on refreshing yourself with the Word of God that mobilizes your imagination, that fills it, and you start to conceive. This is where Jesus was. This is why he walked in such joy. Jesus, it says he was the most joyous person that ever lived. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above his brethren, it says, because he loved righteousness. But he also hated iniquity. He hated lying. He hated twisting of the truth. He hated that. He hated. You know, it's one thing for us to love righteousness, but it's another thing. We need to absolutely hate evil. Look at the media. I mean, it's all lies. Even Fox. I mean, they're getting into the narrative of stuff. Look, it's like, you want to read today's news and tomorrow's news? It's right here. You don't have to follow the news. You make the news. Let's give them something to talk about. It says this. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 103. You really need to understand what this is saying. For as high, verse 11, and this is in the context, by the way, of that God has not dealt with us according to our sin, but according to his mercy, and so forth. For as high as the heaven, as the heaven are high above the earth, I'm thinking of the Charlie and Jill song, above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him, that think he's awesome. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. We read this and say, oh, that's good. I like that. What is this really saying? How high is the heaven above the earth? How high? Well, thousands of miles. And every second, it gets 186,000 miles higher. Every sec, because it is still expanding at the speed of light. It is so God's mercy continues to grow and grow and grow exponentially to accommodate his children, us, who are in this wicked world where sin is escalating exponentially. I mean, there are diseases that are coming out now I never even heard of when I was a kid. You turn on the TV, and it's all because sin has escalated and the diseases are running right behind it, because that's how the devil does it. How far is the heaven higher than the earth? Look, in every single possible direction, it is expanding at the speed of light, exploding in solar systems, exploding with stars. You think you got problems? Man, he makes stars. Yeah. With the word he said 6,000 years ago when he said, light be, light was. And it's still working. And it's getting bigger. See, God's word hasn't diminished. In fact, it's getting bigger. And it's bigger. As far as the church grows and gets bigger and bigger, his word becomes more powerful and more powerful and more powerful on the earth. The more people saying the same thing as God's saying, I'm telling you, this is when the world will pick up and listen. As far as the heaven is high above the earth, as far as the east is from the west. Have you ever heard of the east-west continuum? Jonathan Cahn talks about this. I love that. He is just so full of good stuff. But if you travel west, you will never hit the east. If you travel north, let's say you're on the equator, and you travel north, pretty soon you're going to hit the North Pole, and then if you keep going, you're going to head south. That's because we don't deal with that. We deal with heading west, and you will never head east. Or if you're heading east, you'll never head west. And as far as the east is from the west, in other words, they never meet. There's no fellowship there. Is there? There's no. And you'll never reach. That's how far he's removed your sin from you. But how many Christians are living as if Jesus never really went to the cross and paid for their sins? Never really wrote, you know, they know he did, but they're living as if he didn't. They're living as if Jesus never gave them the gift of righteousness. We need to get this. We need to get our imagination filled with the glory of God, filled with the Word. Start approaching the Bible as a promise book and start receiving the promises and let them be conceived in our spirit. Conceived in our, once they're conceived there, our imagination can take it and run with it. Now, I know that there's a reality that some, when I said that kids, you know, your art, some kids don't find their gifts or they find it in other things and whatever, and there's the natural aspect to it. But on the other hand, if you take the average 30-year-old person and tell them to draw something, they'll draw stick figures like a child. Why? Because they've never developed that area of their life. When they could have. If they hooked up this imagination, this can-do concept, conceiving the can-do, conceiving that God can do it through me. And even if I'm... Oh, come on in. I think there's a grouch in the speaker there. He wants his attention. Pride. Did you get something out of this so far?
Yeah.
How did Mary conceive in her womb? It's a really classic picture. The angel spoke the word of God to her. She believed it. She said it. She received it. She said it. And she birthed him. It's the same process. You hear it. You believe it. You receive it. And let it impregnate you. Let it become flesh in your life. Let healing become flesh in your life. Let prosperity and provision be flesh in your life. Don't look at yourself as in need. You may be in need, but wherever you are, the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want, because the provision will be there if you continue to walk in him. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. As what? as you seek first the kingdom, as you move in God, as you talk the Spirit, let the Spirit operate, talk the word, believe the word, think the word, dream the word, let it conceive in you and let it inhabit all the facets of your life. In order to see with these, you first have to see here. This is what the apostle, turn to Ephesians. I didn't write this down, but Ephesians chapter 1. Leah's got to do a virtual. She has a Zoom meeting with the people from the school. When he prayed for the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened, to be flooded with light, he says in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 17, he starts there. Says, I pray for you that God would grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, in the knowledge of Jesus. The eyes of what? Your understanding be enlightened. That means amplified, says flooded with light, that you may know three things: the hope of his calling, the hope, knowing that God has good things for you. Hope is conceived in the imagination, in the heart. As you'd know the hope of his calling, that you would know the riches of your inheritance. It's already been laid in there. It's that inheritance has been vested in the covenant for you to tap into. But if you don't know it's there, I could put $1 million in your bank account if I never told you it was there. You wouldn't know. So I'm telling you, it's there. Your inheritance is in that covenant. And what? The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When you start to identify with that, then you will start to see in Romans chapter 8, where it says, that you have the same spirit in you that raised him from the dead. And that same spirit can teach you all things about the resurrection life and the resurrection power that resides on the inside of every born-again believer. Even those who are not born of, who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. It still is there. It's a new birth. You are a new creation. Then when you get the Holy Spirit, he knows what to do with all that. And he can lead you. Three things. Have your eyes flooded with what? Light. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened to know, to be intimate, knowing with God what's conceived in you, the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his power. Exceeding greatness, what does that mean? Well, are you sick? It's all right. You can say you're sick. I mean, faith doesn't deny, you know, the reality of what's going on. If you're sick, you have an exceeding greater power on the inside of you, but you need to see yourself well. And don't look to your body to tell you whether God's word is true or not. Amen. Don't look to your circumstances to tell you whether God's word is true or not. Walk in truth and you will be delighted to see that God is there. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's already there. Let me say that again. Don't worry about tomorrow. He is already there. He's not confined to time like you and me. Your imagination is part of your thought process. And that thought process, when it's renewed by God's word, transforms your life. I'm just getting into some things here that I'm going to stop because we've got some really good lunch ready. No, I mean, I can see some eyes glazing over here and say, you can feed too much. But even if you get one thing out of this whole thing, just know this. That your imagination is something that God values. He treasures it, and he wants to fill it with truth. The devil wants to hijack it because he knows how powerful it is. Your imagination can either prevent God from fulfilling his plan in your life, or it can accommodate him, and he will fulfill not only his plan for your life, but he can take you beyond his plans. It's up to your willingness. Praise God. Father, everything that's happened in this service so far, from the prayers, from tongues interpretation, from the things that we have prayed and we put down in the now, that we are now, got those burdens lifted now, and that yokes to the past, yokes to failure, those yokes have been destroyed, and that we can rise up and walk with you in newness of life, in the strength and authority that you have given us through your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is you speaking to us. That is your life living in us. That it is incorruptible seed reproducing after its own kind. That it is your authority being delegated to us and your blessing overtaking us. We choose to see the way you want us to see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing on everyone here, that they walk out to this world knowing the challenges are there, but knowing they're equipped. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, our altar ministers are here for you. There is some good food in the back, so avail yourself of that. And we'll see you next week. Well, it's actually Friday night, Good Friday service. Oh, that's going to be powerful. Powerful, powerful, powerful. So Good Friday, and then we've got Resurrection Sunday coming up on Sunday. Hallelujah. Are your eyes flooded with light? All right. God bless you.